Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is Psalm 19. Hear now the psalmist's words for us on this morning. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like the bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, the innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As it happens, the scripture lesson for today is from the book, the Hebrew scriptures book called Nehemiah. Now, the baritone section of the men's choir insisted that I say this, but you may think the shortest man in the Bible is Zacchaeus. You remember? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. The shortest person in the Bible is actually Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Okay. Worst joke you've heard. Yeah. The scripture text begins with us, begins with the congregation gathered just like we are, like we've been doing for years, right? Only this congregation gathered long ago and far away in the city of Jerusalem. The city was in ruins. The congregation gathered that day 2,400 or so years ago. So let's listen now to this old story and find there a word from the Lord. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was the first day of the seventh month. Ezra read from the book facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And all the ears of the people were attentive to the reading. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for this purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Anaiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mashael, Machiah, Hashum, Hasbadadon, Zechariah, Meshahulam on his left. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above the people, and when he opened the book, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also the Levites were there, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jahim, Akum, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Ma'aiah, Kaliah, Azariah, Jozabad, Dehan, and Peliah. They helped the people understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, taught the people. They said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Be quiet. This day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What an amazing story, yes? Filled with so much meaning, especially those last words that Nehemiah and Ezra spoke. They strike us a bit like a benediction, you know, the good word at the end of the service. "This day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Wow. Tell me, think for a minute, what comes to your mind when you hear this word joy? What feelings, what images, what memories? Christmas is not that far behind us. We just got our Christmas tree down yesterday, actually, so, you know. What is this? What is the hymn we sing at Christmas time that has joy in it? "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Some of us like Beethoven, right? So we sing the hymn to joy. "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love." I big in Sunday school as a kid, and hopefully as an adult, and we learned a song about joy. If you know it, try it with me. "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Where? Down in my heart. Where? Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, we could go on, right? We could go on. The joy that is in the heart, right, that flows out of us. Great song. I hear the word joy, and it brings a smile to my face. I hope it does to you as well. I hear the word joy, and I think about my aunt Joy, my mom's younger brother's wife. My smile grows larger when I think of Aunt Joy. She was actually here at our wedding 40 years ago. My Aunt Joy lived out her name, and she lived that name out to the end of her life. Sadly, she died last summer, we suspect from long COVID. The family gathered in Oklahoma, and we celebrated her life. We cried, we grieved, but we also had joy. We lived out Aunt Joy's name. My Uncle Bob said, you know, the reason for the visit is sad, but the visit was great. Right? The family gathered to celebrate her life and live more of her name. Experiencing joy, finding joy, can be hard, yes? It isn't always readily there. Depending on the circumstances of our life at any given time, joy can be elusive. Joy can be hard to find. It's difficult to find joy when you and I are facing stressors and challenges in life, or those whom we love are facing stressors and challenges. It's hard to find when you're in the midst of grief, when you're living with anxiety, as some are today. That was the situation for this ancient congregation that gathered that day before the Watergate. Same as many of us. The congregation that morning was made up of the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of those who had been taken into exile in Babylon and then returned home some 70 years later. The Babylonians and the Persians had a war. The Persians won. King Artaxerxes said, "People of Israel, go home. Go home, rebuild your city, we will have peace." He appointed Nehemiah to be the governor, Ezra was the priest. He sent them home with all the people, and he sent some money, which is interesting, sent some financial aid to the people of Israel. Imagine that. Interesting historical note, I think, for today. This is the leader of the ancient Persians, you know, Persia, that's modern Iran, sending financial aid to help the people of Israel. Wouldn't that be nice? There's a peace between those two countries. Let us pray for peace between those two countries in our day. When Nehemiah and Ezra get there, they see the city is in utter ruins. Imagine, if we can, our neighbors in California, Southern California, the devastation that they are facing. So many homes, so many businesses. Three of our Presbyterian churches out there burned to the ground. Imagine that. All this gone. Oop. Don't fall off the pulpit. The wooden platform, it's a small platform. All of it gone. Devastation, despair, right? You see people on the TV crying. How to get through that? How to deal with that kind of loss? No insurance back in those days, right? On top of that, for this ancient congregation, there were enemies still at the gate trying to overtake them, right? Food had to be grown, and so work had to stop in order to harvest the food. Not everyone shared the vision for rebuilding the city and the temple as Nehemiah and Ezra did. And as we come to this morning's reading, some progress has been made. You know, the wall, it's two-thirds done. Still more work. The temple is still in ruins. But you know, there was this holiday coming up. And you know, we get in the habit of celebrating holidays. This holiday happened to come in early September. It's still celebrated today. Anybody want to guess? It's the New Year's Day for our Jewish brothers and sisters. Rosh Hashanah, exactly. Rosh Hashanah, which I think translates to the head of the year. So it's the first day of the new year. And on that day, there's to be a celebration. Ezra and Nehemiah decide, well, maybe it will be helpful if we plan a celebration, a worship service. Maybe it will inspire the people in this rebuild effort. Maybe it will be a blessing to them. We don't know. There's a lot of despair and anxiety out there, but let's try it and see what happens. So imagine, early that morning, the elders and the ushers, they show up and they set up a wooden platform outside because the temple is destroyed. This reminded me, some of you have been around when we set up that awful platform out in the parking lot. Who helped set that thing up? I did. That thing weighed a ton, right? Had to set it up every Sunday morning. Lord, Lord, right? Get ready for the worship service. That's what they did. That's what they did. Ezra, they built a little pulpit, a little higher up. Ezra the priest brings out the Bible, the Torah, the scrolls, right? First five books of Moses. He opens the book. Everybody stands. They had an opening prayer. And then the people responded in a most un-Presbyterian way. They said, "Amen! Amen!" Then they did something positively Pentecostal. They raise their hands. Everybody try it. Oh, doesn't that feel weird, right? Amen. Amen, right? Our Pentecostal, our Baptist brothers and sisters are better at that than we are. But that's what they did. They lifted up their hands, it says. Then Ezra starts reading. And you may have noticed he reads the first lesson, the second lesson, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, right? The text says they read from early morning till midday. People getting fidgety. The roast will burn in the oven if we don't get out of here soon. Preacher is preaching way too long. Ezra probably read the creation stories, right? The story of creation. Contrast to the creation stories that the Babylonians read, it's all about war and violence, and our stories are all about good, 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 very good. He probably read about Noah and the ark. God's salvation. Probably read about Abraham and Sarah, the sojourn to Egypt, the slavery, the Exodus and Moses. Probably read a lot of those stories. And then there were some Levites on hand. Those are the other names, those hard to pronounce names that we saw in the text. The Levites were kind of the pastoral assistants. those who lead Bible studies, right? They gave the interpretation of the stories. They went around, the people were sitting, and there's conversation about, what do you think about that text? Well, what does this mean? What is that commandment all about? And they gave the meaning, it says. They gave the sense of the reading so that the people understood. So they had a worship service, kind of a Sunday school Bible study thing going on in this situation. Ezra and Nehemiah say, this day is holy to the Lord. It's a day to remember God's graciousness, God's love, God's salvation. It's a day to celebrate. It's New Year's Day. We have a new year ahead of us. Notice the reaction of the people. When they start reading and start talking about this, what does it say? The people wept. They wept. These were not tears of joy and delight. These were tears of sadness. These were tears of grief. Maybe they saw some kind of a disconnect between these stories and the situation in their lives. Maybe they remembered the struggles of their parents and grandparents back in Babylon, how awful that was. Maybe they remembered when they showed back up in Jerusalem, saw this ruins. So they cried. They cried, and they wept when they heard the words of the law, it says. Ezra and Nehemiah, though, say, you know, we've had enough weeping, right? What's the text? Weeping may come for the night, but joy comes in the morning. They probably knew that psalm. No more mourning. No more weeping, Ezra and Nehemiah said. Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine. Send portions to those who don't have any. No more weeping, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the people go home, probably tents, right? Open things. They eat meat. They drink sweet wine. You know what happens when you drink sweet wine, right? Huh? Mogan David, right? Ooh, right? You know what that does to you, right? They send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared. So there's a concern for all, right? This meal was not just for the well-off, those who could afford it. It was for everyone. It was a focus on the common good, something I think we could do well to remember, the common good, right? And it says they made great, what? Rejoicing. What do you hear in that word rejoicing? You hear the word joy. They made great rejoicing. In other words, they found joy, and joy somehow found them because they understood the word that had been declared to them. Friends, I think that is the good news of this text. Finding joy, experiencing joy, comes when we hear and understand and are able to live out God's word to us. That's where joy is discovered. Joy is made very real in our lives when we align ourselves, our actions, and our attitudes, when they are aligned with the ways of God. Here's it is. When they are aligned with what brings God joy. Ponder that for a minute. What brings God joy? Well, I would say when God's people and the creation acts in ways of love and justice. That brings God joy, right? God has joy when God sees all of us living out the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. When those things happen, that, I believe, brings God joy. Finding joy, having joy, strengthens us. Joy has the ability to cultivate our inner resilience. And that's what we need. That's what I need for the living of these days. That's what I need in order to handle the stressors and challenges that come in life. Experiencing joy, as joy wells up within you, that joy is also refreshing. That's one of my favorite words, refreshing, right? If it were warmer outside, we can maybe imagine standing at the edge of the pool. This was actually an iced tea commercial years ago. You're holding iced tea, right? Lipton. And standing at the edge of the pool, and then you just fall back, and the water catches you and sustains you, right? That's a great image of being refreshed, right? And that, I believe, is what we need. I need a measure of refreshment so that I can approach life with a measure of delight, with a measure of hope, and Lord, Lord, with a measure of joy. So friends, that's my prayer for myself, my hope for all of you, that we would live out this text, that we would be refreshed by joy and live every day knowing, say it together with me, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And they said, amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.